You're listening to the Untidy Faith Podcast, where we have honest conversations and gentle encouragement for when following Jesus gets messy. I'm your host, Kate Boyd, author, speaker, and gentle guide for Christians who are disentangling their faith from culture and desiring to find joy in following Jesus again. There can be life of faith after deconstruction. Let's find yours together. Hello and welcome everyone back to the Untidy Faith Podcast. I am so excited to bring you my conversation today with Jirla Prevalon. She is the founder and executive director of Elevate Her International Ministries with a vision to empower women to heal from trauma. She is a counselor and life coach in private practice and an ordained minister in the ECC. Her professional career in counseling, pastoring, and international spans over 20 years. She lives in New Jersey with her husband of 25 years while her three young adult sons are discerning God's call in their lives, and she is excited about her upcoming book project on God's posture towards the traumatized called Does God See Me? We had a really great conversation about trauma and how it affects our spiritual lives and our relationships and how we can find hope or reconnect with God or start to recover and heal and trust ourselves as we move through these seasons where we're experiencing all of that and the effects of the trauma that may be coming with our deconstructions or that started our deconstructions. And so I hope that this is a really helpful conversation for you. So we'll jump in. Hello. Welcome, Jirla. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for having me on. I'm so excited.
So a lot of people in the audience have some sort of capital T or lowercase t trauma related to church and spirituality. Just, I think, given the nature of the last few years, given the nature of deconstruction, given the nature of the way church spaces in some of our lives have operated. Mm-hmm. And so I think for us, it gets sort of hard. You don't think of like trauma affecting spirituality necessarily, but in your professional experience, how have you seen trauma impact someone's spiritual life and relationship with faith communities?
Yeah, I think trauma that occurs within the faith community and that impacts someone's spiritual life can be even more traumatizing than anything, right? Because think about it this way. When trauma happens and pain and suffering happens and you're dysregulated and some kind of event took place and it's in your head and you have questions, what I've come to realize is that most often people's common denominators are God. You know, they have questions for God. They want to talk to God. They get closer to God. That's where like the door opens to all, to your spiritual life. Right. So what happens when the trauma actually happens within the faith community, within the people who helped you even develop a relationship with God, the place where you thought is the place where you would find safety, security, and love and belonging. What happens when that's gone? Mm. For me, I always say that kind of trauma can be even more traumatizing. Mm-hmm. For when it happens within the faith community.
Yeah, I think to your point, it's sort of like, I think especially when we think of our spirituality or our church communities as sort of maybe closer to the core of us than some things,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that these are relationships that like extend beyond blood and extend beyond
yes.
things. And then to realize that maybe you weren't as close, or maybe you weren't, or you were experiencing that maybe all the things you experienced weren't good, weren't okay. That disruption in trust is really tough.
Yeah. Well, look at it this way. You know, there's an expectation for faith communities that we often don't communicate, you know, we just kind of take it at face value, you know. They're like, well, they read the good book, you know, they talk about Jesus. Oh, you know, God is good, you know, all the time. These people are supposed to know God, and they're supposed to know the Jesus, you know, and the Jesus is a good Jesus, you know, and if they're in close proximity to the Jesus, then they will be good people. Then they will treat me well, like Jesus would, you know, then they would be warm and kind and, you know, all of those warm and fuzzy things. So that expectation, when it's broken, it is so traumatizing. When it's unmet, it's so traumatizing. That distrust builds up, and, you know, it's so painful. And so when people are talking about church hurt or church trauma, or, you know, a trauma in their spiritual life or and all of that, it's very serious. It's I take it very seriously. And so, yeah, so it's a big deal. It's not just a little thing that we can just say, oh, just go to find another church.
Right. You know, yeah.
They'll tell you to find another church, go to a different place. It's not that easy because you have to deal with the trauma.
Yeah. So I think even after experiencing some of those traumatic things or like major disruptions because of the communities you were a part of, I think people still end up navigating feelings of like doubt or guilt or fear whenever leaving or questioning some of those things. What are some of the ways that you think are helpful in them navigating some of those feelings in that process?
Well, I think a separation needs to happen because oftentimes we separate the church building to God himself, you know? So there needs to be you know, there's a tangling, like we marry, we integrate the church building to signify God. And that is not true, you know, that is not the case. And so so the first step really is to untangle, separate, differentiate the two, make two separate categories of the church and God first, before even starting to, you know, before making sense of the guilt, because I think the guilt and the shame comes from, you know, feeling as if you're supposed to, like the if you don't do the church thing, you know, then you're not enough. If you don't do the church building thing, or if it doesn't look like what you were taught that it's supposed to look like when you grew up, then, you know, you're going to hell or all kinds of bad things will happen. You'll be cursed. And, you know, if you get into a car accident, it's because, you know, you didn't go to the church building that Sunday. All kinds of stuff. I've heard
that. I bet you have.
We have to separate the two.
That's really good because I think and even that, right, like takes time. I think sometimes we expect that to be like a quick, easy, like, oh, of course I can just separate God from this community that I've been a part of. But I think that's part of why stuff like deconstruction is such an interesting phenomenon, because it is people sort of peeling those layers apart and then figuring out how different ones might fit together. And I'm seeing that that sort of happens not just in like what you believe and what you do, but in like this sort of beingness, right? Of church and of God and of being a person of God and all of those things too.
Right, right. Yeah, it does take time because I think there are some fundamental questions that must be wrestled with, like who is God and where can God be found in my life? You know, that's a question I think we need to wrestle with. Can God, is God only found in the church building? What is the purpose of the church building? You know, what is the purpose of that community? And can that community be forged in other places? You know, I heard something so insightful, you know, a few months ago, and someone was sharing that, yes, we need community, but it is, it's unrealistic to think that we're going to get that spiritual community in one place. You know, it may not happen in just one place. You know, you might have someone that you pray with in this space, and you might have some another, you know, Christian community or faith community you meet with for brunch, or you might have another community here or there. It's, you know, I'm beginning to understand what this person shared with me, that it's really, I don't know if it's possible to get, you know, all that you want from community in one place. You know, so it's important to expand the conversation. It needs to be an expansive conversation where we're asking these deeper questions about where is God? You know, is God just in these spaces and places? Can I experience, you know, the goodness of God while at a park watching children play? You know, can I experience God at a coffee shop watching, you know, people, just baristas making coffee? Can I experience God in Haiti, you know, while just walking down the streets, you know, with mothers and daughters or whatnot? You know, so it's an expansive conversation that needs to have, and that's long overdue, because we box God in for so long. And out of safety, out of security, out of protectiveness, out of all of that. But the Spirit of God can't be contained, you know? And so these existential crisis or spiritual crisis, I think it's necessary, right? Because that's where we start experiencing God outside of the box that was created for us. And we need, God can't live in the box forever.
Yeah. I mean, I think these are the kinds of things that have actually been happening for all of time. It's just we are now connected enough, and we have vocabulary to put around it that we didn't have before.
You know, to experience God and to have the freedom to experience God in so many different ways, I feel like it makes your relationship God even deeper and wider and more expansive than just, you know, on Sunday mornings. You know, now we can possibly experience God, you know, 24/7, because it's not just an activity. It's not just an event. It's just in the being and just in the presence of Creator and the divine. And I'm like, that's amazing, you know? So it's good.
Well, yeah. And if what we believe in the New Testament is true, then we have the Spirit in us. Like, we have God walking around inside of us all the time, you know, as close to us as anything can be. And so it's so interesting to me that we've sort of constricted the way that we think God can meet people or that God can work when God has already gone out of their way to, like, make it really clear that there is some sort of fusion with creation in that way, and that God is everywhere. And it's so interesting to me the ways that we have sort of, like you said, boxed that in.
Yeah. Even things like confession of faith. I have I just recently had a conversation with a girlfriend of mine. And, you know, I've been in the Christian space forever, since I was born, you know, and she had not, you know, and we were just having this conversation about, you know, the requirement for someone to be a believer. At which point, you know, is someone a believer? When they actually say that prayer, you know, or was it happening even before then? And she's like, you know what, if I'm being honest, I think I have been confessing my faith for a very long time before I even said the prayer. You know? And so that there's another area where we constrict God to just the prayer. You know, I totally understand, you know, public confession and all of those things, but there are some spaces and places where that will not happen. And according to God, I don't know if that's all that big of a deal to God, that once we say the prayer and that's it. And I'm like, no, I think it's more than that. You know, I think God's been active way before this prayer that we say. And it's more nuanced than the prayer. So I don't know. Maybe some folks listening will say blasphemy. I'm sorry, you know,
I don't think you'll
but
get that from anyone in my audience because I think we've all been sort of in the same boat, right? Like that's one thing I would say that it has shifted for me too, is I used to think that it was about like believing the right things and saying you believe the right things, and there's so much that just doesn't make sense for me in that aspect or isn't available to everyone in the same way, if that's the case. And so that for me became a place where I was like, I just don't like, I can't tell you ex what the answer is. I'm less concerned with getting it just right anymore anyway. But I think there's a sense of that we have to sort of let go of some of that. And I think for me, what it's come down to is just sort of like actually believing that God is good, and like, and that I can trust God, and that God can actually see what I think and feel and intend, and can work in that even if I don't have it right, you know?
And you know, and I want to be cautious in saying that, yes, confess, make that prayer if you want, you
Totally.
know. Do that. Just don't tell me it's the only way to enter the kingdom of God. You know, tell me that it's one of the ways that we as a community, we come together and we do this confession and we make these prayers, that this is the community covenant that we have together, you know, to kind of, you know, seal our community together. Tell me that. Don't tell me it's the only way. That's hard for me.
Totally. So I think as people are shifting faith or dealing with, say, you know, their trauma and their traumatic experiences and making sense of everything, exploring these new paths, what are some of the steps that you think someone can take to rebuild maybe the trust in themselves or their perception of faith, or informing new relationships, after experiencing maybe some of this harm or confusion in spiritual spaces?
Yeah, I you know, it does take some time, as we shared earlier, and it does take some time into just being, you know, and just living. You know, the worst thing you can do is to stop being and stop living. You know, you have to live. You have to get up, go to work, meet people. You know, the way you're gonna come to that place of resolve is by living, by being with people, by connecting with people, by having conversations. You know, don't stop having these conversations. I would say continue to have those conversations, continue. And I think in the being, in the waking up, in working out, in exercising, in eating, in sitting at the park benches and watching children play and all of that, God is working it out in you, you know? It's happening in you. You're moving into a place, like I said, it's very nuanced, while at the same time, there's a practical side of just doing the walking the walk, you know, keep living. Yes, you can take a pause from the church community, you know, that's either done the harm or, you know, whatever the case may be, take a pause from those spaces. I would actually recommend that, you know, because sometimes you may find more God outside of those spaces than in those spaces. Because if you stay in those spaces and your attitude is all messed up and you're judgy and, you know, you need to leave, but you're fighting everyone in this space, you know, because they ain't gonna change, you know, because they don't see what you see.
Yeah.
So it's best to take a pause and not, and I'm not all for people, you know, cussing everybody out as they leave.
Sure.
You know, my whole thing is when you see truth for what it is, just accept it and wish them well and take a step back. You know, and that's how I see it. So part of the, you know, living into the newness of deconstructing and evolving into this new space is you need to break away, live life, drink and be merry and have fun. Just like go visit some communities, do a nonprofit, you know. Volunteer somewhere.
Yeah.
Be with the people in the community. Be with the people. Once you're with the people, I believe you will know what to do next. So don't stop being with people. Find people to be with. And keep walking.
Yeah, it can be a very isolating experience if we let it be, because mm-hmm. there is sort of the sense of if I was supposed to, like sort of what we touched on earlier, if I was supposed to trust these people and now I can't, who can I trust? You know,
right.
Do I trust myself to know who to trust?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the question of who can you trust, because trust has been broken. You know, I would say, you know, That takes time, you know. Can you trust yourself? Even that aspect takes time to, you know, to thaw out a little bit, because you've been in this space for so long, and right now you just need a space, and sometimes you just need to completely go into a new space community and visit some places. Listen to some other voices, allow yourself to be with some people that you've never been with before. Like go into the community, go into the community and show up in the community. And I'm biased because I have a nonprofit and I've always been in the nonprofit space, and I'm a sucker for, you know, people that are hurting and people that are disenfranchised and need help. Go to these people. You know, my thing is people that are deconstructing, go to the people that are hurting. You know, there's something about people that are hurting, pain and suffering. They have so much to teach us about how to live in difficult seasons. Sit up under them, you know, listen to them. They have such wisdom about living life when pain has taken place. If you don't know what to do, go to those people and they'll show you. Sit with the homeless, you know, do something, you know, and then you'll know what your next steps will be. And it's not something that you do overnight. It's not a formula to it. You know, because I know oftentimes we're looking for formulas, you know, tell me what to do and I'll do it to make this pain go away. You know, in my when I counsel clients, you know, I ask them, you know, what time they have, because depending on the hurt, depending on the trauma, we can be at this for years. And if you're trying to quickly get past this thing, it's not gonna work. And so I oftentimes I have to slow their pace, because everyone comes in to and want a pill, And for them to call me in the morning, all right, that's not how it works. We can be here for a minute. And that's okay because it's a journey. It's a journey. So go to the hurt and loss, and because you're lost too, you might find some companionship in those people as well.
Oh, I totally get that because I know that for me, it was encountering people around the world that really led me into a different phase of my faith. And I think that's really important to keep in mind, that expanding outside of our normal circles and that proximity to those who are suffering helps not just them, but helps us because we see people more clearly than we did before, and that has the potential to change everything.
There's so much to learn. I'm always grateful for the grandmothers in my life, for the aunties in my life, for the people that I've served all throughout the world, who have been teachers to me. I'll show up, to teach about trauma, but they're often in these spaces and often in our training. I walk away learning so much more, because these people who have been in spaces of trauma for a very long time. And so when I show up with trainings, I do have things here and there to teach, while at the same time, I think there's a reciprocal learning that's happening where we need to submit to their teaching as well, so that we can get what we need so we can move forward as well. So I would highly, highly recommend sitting under the feet of those that are different, disenfranchised, and are they're the ones in society that we haven't heard enough of, that I think has so much to teach us about this journey that we've been talking about.
So, as we wrap up, I have a question for our listeners who are in the midst of their healing journey and facing the challenges that come along with that. What message of hope and resilience, or advice or encouragement, can you share to encourage them as they continue forward?
I believe God is in it, even in the pain, even in the deconstruction, even in the disillusionment, the confusion, not knowing what to do, the new community. I think God is near. I believe God is near because it that breaking, that kind of, separation, I believe is supposed to happen, but I would encourage the audience to stay close to God and to be authentic in your lament to God, because I think for me at least, growing up in the Christian faith, I was taught that talking to God a certain way was not allowed. And in these seasons of deconstruction and seasons of just confusion, this is where the raw and honest conversations need to come out and need to be shared. And so many folks, who are in this season might kind of be timid, in talking to God a certain way. Is this allowed? Is this not allowed? It's allowed. It is allowed. It's allowed. So one piece of encouragement I would share is just talk to God about it. However angry or sad or confused that you may be, talk it out to God. Share it out to God. And I believe God is not fragile. God is not like humans that can't take the raw, honest, authentic talk. God is present in it. If anything, I think that's what moves us along to have these conversations, real, authentic conversations with God. So I would encourage you to trust that God is in it, and God allows you to be angry and to be mad and, you know, or even accuse God, you know, because Naomi accused God, you know, she's like, you brought this upon me, God, you know, so I would say all of that is allowed. So go to God and trust him.
I couldn't agree more. I think when people ask me, like when they are going through deconstruction and maybe wanting to start reading the Bible, but they're very tentative because of their relationship with God feels strained, one of the places I always point them to is the Psalms. You know, the Psalms are a place where every kind of big emotion is represented, and it's in the canon. It's there for us to relate to and lean on and even use for our own expression. And so, you know, if you are worried if your emotions are too big for God, they're not. They're in the Bible for us, right there in the Psalms and in a whole bunch of other places. And so I think that's just so important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that's probably the most freedom I've ever experienced in my own seasons of pain and suffering, is knowing that I can say the most heretical thing, you know, to God, and that's allowed because that's part of the relationship we have to God. It doesn't mean this is where I'm going to stay or land forever, but that's where I am, and God is near. And the mere fact of knowing that I can talk to God that way shows that, you know, that God is real. So if God is real, then let me have my relationship with God, okay? Stay out of it and just let us work it out. This is just about my fight with God. Stay out of it.
Oh my gosh, yes. Okay, Jerla, where can people find you and your book and hang out with you online? Tell us all the things.
Yes. So the book is coming out in May. It's out for pre-order right now. And the title is Does God See Me? I'm sure you shared a little bit. It's really asking the question, you know, really based on what we're talking about, you know, is God here? And does God see me? And so it's talking about just trauma and healing and, you know, from all the trainings and conversations and sessions that I've had throughout the years of my career, that's the question I'm like, I often get, and I've asked myself, you know, that does God see me? So I'm excited about it because it's telling my story, the story of Hagar, the story of women around the world that I've met in the work that I've done. And so I'm excited. It's my baby. You know, I know everybody says that about their first book, but this one is my baby, you know, so I'm excited. And, you know, our nonprofit, you know, a little bit about our nonprofit, Elevate Her International. We do trauma work for women around the world. And Kate was the one that helped me theme this year. It might be a theme forever now, you know, if we heal women, we heal the world, because I really believe in the strength and power of women and how women have been underserved. And we have not really used the strength of women around the world. But I believe if we are able to heal women, we are essentially healing the world as well. So you can find me online. I'm all over the social interwebs. My website is myfirstandlastname.com, and I'm on Instagram and all over the place as well.
So good. Thank you so much for joining us and for hanging out with me. And I will see everyone, all of our listeners, next time around.